Kevin, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is, has been, and intends to remain your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We offer the highest-rated privately held depository facility in the Western region and beyond. We are high-volume, low-margin precious metals, coin dealers. We buy scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. Nobody will pay you what we will pay. We are gold brokers and diamond brokers. In other words, we wholesale to the public, but at the same time, our margins are thinner than any business I've ever heard of, and that is our philosophy. We will always take care of you. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism has been the motto of Coins Plus for well over 20 years, since 1996. And we are, as far as I know, probably one of the most professional industry-related firms in America. We definitely operate from one of the finest facilities in the nation, built from the ground up with security, confidentiality, and personal respect from the ground up, like I said. I mean, we've got... It's built to last. This building is it's a little mini Fort Knox. I won't get into the details. A lot of bomb and bullet resistive polycarbonate windows and Kevlar walls and concrete and steel walls and different corridors and cameras, 42 cameras, and to monitor different activities throughout the facility. We've got, like I said, an extraordinarily high-rated depository service. We bought the best of the best. Our vaults are the best, Class 2, wrapped in T1, one-inch thick T1 tool-resistant steel that came out of old banks. And we've just done everything we can to make this one of the most unique facilities in the United States. When I do things, I tend to do them the right way, I guess we could call it, if you don't mind, or overdo it, as some would accuse me of. But we have definitely tried to provide you with the best possible options. We wholesale to the public. That means if you're buying precious metals from us, you don't have to worry. You don't have to shop. I promise you. There's so many games that are played in this industry. You'll see TV ads. You'll see... I don't remember the actor's name. That's, I buy my gold from Roslyn Capital. They're the, any coin, they'll be, any price. And that is absolutely not true. If anybody wants to research it, do it. It's quite entertaining. We've made the phone calls. But the problem is the average person doesn't know any better. Our employees are not on commission. They have no financial incentive to hurt you financially. And I hate to, I guess the word hurt, to maximize profits or however you want to call it, okay? There's no financial incentive for our employees to push profits or maximize them. They don't get commission. There's nothing like that going on here. So our goal is to absolutely build you the best portfolio. We've been around, so we've seen markets come and go. What's really interesting right now is that you speak to any honest, relatively honest, knowledgeable broker that knows reality, that's truthful, they'll tell you this market, the paper market is so topsy-turvy. It's just a matter of time that they say before a correction. Well, the correction will come, and it is coming. And most importantly, the correction exists each and every day. As I discussed in the previous show, the collapse of the fiat currency system, as your money is being continuously inflated to the point where You're losing spending power on a daily basis. It's sad. It's what it's designed to do. It is designed specifically to usher in socialism. America is a great country, a phenomenal country, the greatest country in the history of the world, built by God from godly men. It's incredible. The only other country that has basically God's endorsement would be Israel, and America trumps Israel. We take care of her, and we protect her, and we are the greatest country of all. The problem is, like when after they left the Congressional Congress and wrote the Declaration of Independence, Ben Franklin was quoted as he was coming out down the steps. A lady said, "What kind of government did you give us, sir?" And he said, "A republic, ma'am, if you're able to keep it." Okay? So this is a republic. This is not a democracy. People do not understand that anymore. Surveys are coming out. Favoritism, I'll call it, towards socialism is going through the roof. The millennial generation is 77% pro-socialism, absolute, complete, and total ignorance, okay? And then what's going on with the left, with the Democrats, they're having a race to the left, and none of them wants to be left behind, and they believe that the party is on board with that. And so it's a competition between who can promise the most. And, you know, that's why Bernie Sanders came on the scene. I mean, in all honesty, folks, if you look at Bernie Sanders, is he really presidential material? No, not at all. Joe Biden, he's a fumble bumbler. I mean, you know, Sean Hannity on Fox calls him crazy, creepy Uncle Joe. And because he is crazy, he says crazy, foolish things. He's been accused of touching women and handling them in very unprofessional ways. And he kind of talks slow and lethargic. They say now he's, you know, they have to give him IVs and things like that on the bus. He's 76. Not that 76 is always old, but he's used a lot of plastic surgery to keep looking young. But he is not the guy. They've got that AOC, whatever it is, gal something, Cortez, Alexandria, you know, I can't remember her middle name. But it's something Cortez, who has the New Green Deal. This is a carbon neutral philosophy, all based on global warming. She made the comment that if we don't do this right now, we'll all be gone in 12 years. Do you remember anything like that? Was it John Kerry who wrote or who had the movie Inconvenient Truth? He predicted 11 years to the destruction of the world if we didn't change all these carbon emissions. And folks, I'll tell you, it's baloney. It's not true. It's malarkey. It's a lie. It's BS, if you will allow me to say that. It's, you know, we've had an ice age when I was in Costa Rica discussing with a National Geographic guide, the history of the world. You know, he's doing the billions a year thing with me in Costa Rica, and I'm digging down in the dirt, and I'm showing him, you know, 2 feet of dirt, and then there's volcanic rock. I'm like, what is wrong with these people? How in 2 billion years would you only have 2 feet of dirt over volcanic rock? Well, that land bridge is pretty darn new. It's part of the tectonic plate shifting and volcanic activity post-flood. Creationists and evolutionists agree. There was an ice age between 6 and 10,000 years ago, and it's melted and melted and melted. Even pictures of Glacier Park show that long before there was heavy carbon emissions. And, you know, we're down to the what they call a tiny polar ice cap. So the Earth is warming up, as in general, but apparently, you know, with El Nino and El Niña, it's, you know, there's global warming, but then all of a sudden they want to call it climate change because there's, you know, torrential rains. It's slowly warming up over time, right? The bottom line is it's not caused by us. It's not our fault. And but of course, we want to be good stewards of the earth, but don't buy into it. It's funny, you know, Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister under Hitler, made the strict statement. He said, if you tell a lie long enough, the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, the easier they'll believe it. And, you know, we've saw this with homosexual marriage, right? Remember, everybody knew marriage was between a man and a woman, and there was this progression as they just pumped it and pumped it and pumped it on us. So it's made its headway where it's much more accepted, and so they back away. Now it's global warming. Why global warming? Why would they care? Well, the truth is it's control, it's fear, it's taxation, it's the government. It's just another way. Anytime you have taxes, it opens up the door for the government to control people. And you've got to understand, in order to, well, they always assume you're guilty and to prove an innocent. They assume you're dishonest until you prove otherwise. So anytime they add a tax, they have to control you. They have to watch. They got to know everywhere you've been, everything you've done. And that is why they want this, so that they can have absolute total control of everybody's movement around the earth. They can control the airlines. They can control every corporation. They can add all these carbon taxes. They can control, you know, they want to get rid of fossil fuels instead of just improving efficiency, folks. I mean, you look at the gas mileage cars are getting now. I mean, there's cars out there that are nice, reasonable cars. They're pulling, you know, 38, 40 miles to the gallon. I remember, you know, just 20 years ago when that was, that was absolutely impossible. Anything over 20 was good. So we have the ability to be more efficient, which is good, but it's not ruining the earth at the same pace and rate as before, or as before, as they claim. The parts per billion of carbon, when you take measurements of our atmosphere away from metropolitan areas, is negligible. It's immeasurable. However, the number one effect, well, first of all, as far as carbon emissions go, America is responsible for, people argue 1, 2, 3%, whatever it is. It's minor compared to the rest of the world. On top of that, they are taking down, you know, deforesting like 1 million acres a day of the Amazon forest and the tropical jungles in South America. Now, that does have an effect, and here's why. Oxygen is produced by plants, correct? Okay, how do they produce oxygen? Carbon dioxide. They need CO2. If we reduce CO2 on this earth, we will kill the plants. We actually, this is just more, garbage pseudoscience, just like vaccinations. People are like, what? Vaccinations are good. Yeah, you get pumped that stuff all the time. You know, now they want to, you know, make laws that say you can't have a religious exemption for people sticking stuff in your body that, you know, was never meant to be there in the first place. We had the measles outbreak, mumps outbreak, all this stuff where they say 85% of people in the areas were vaccinated, and lo and behold, everybody got it. So they blame it on those that weren't vaccinated. Wait a minute. I thought if you were vaccinated, you couldn't get it, right? So it just, it's a bunch of malarkey. It really is. And it's filling your body with, you know, like 100 million times the mercury that you should ever have, and all kinds of other stuff. It messes with your immune system in a bad way. It triggers all kinds of immunosuppressive disorders, autoimmune disorders. It's just bad. Vaccinations are not good. I know that's becoming less and less popular to say, and they're becoming, I mean, when the government starts to force science, which is also what they want to do with global warming, they're always wrong. And what they'll end up doing with vaccinations are killing people, creating autism, creating all kinds of autoimmune disorders to an extreme. And if you don't understand that, it's because of the antigen is placed in your body, the quote, dead virus, it goes, it floats through the body in a manner it's never been designed to do. It'll land in areas of your body that have a certain inflammation or whatever. T cells go out, identify it. It doesn't make sense. It's dead. They know it shouldn't be there. And because an antigen or will go to where it's supposed to. Viruses have a purpose when they're alive. And so it'll recognize that. It'll identify the dead virus with your mammalian protein and create an autoimmune dysfunction where your body attacks itself. The same exact thing is coming if we fall deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole of global warming. If they really do reduce CO2 emissions, they will kill plants and they will kill oxygen on this earth, reduce the oxygen rate. You look at some of these highways. I remember when I lived in Portland, there was this highway or interstate that was down in kind of a deep, deep valley. And around it, they'd planted tons of plants. And those plants flourished. Cars flew by that thing constantly, 24/7. And those plants flourished. They were so thick that they had to have the city of Portland every month go in there and literally try to chop them out because they were growing so well because the carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide, which the cars also produce carbon monoxide, so that obviously doesn't hurt them. But when we start to tear down the rainforest and things like that, then, yeah, we reduce it. If we just let the earth operate, you know, and we've got to be good stewards, like I said. But if we let the earth operate the way God designed it, it'll take care of itself. You also have to look at the fact that 80% of the earth is covered with water. So we can only do – and we're tiny, you know, unseeable flecks. Even from 100 miles up in space, you get into the satellites and you know, all of L.A. is just a little light dot in the middle of a massive continent. And so anyway, you're going to hear more and more of this because it pushes us into socialism. It's control. It's the government, quote, protecting the people. And socialism is the ultimate goal. I hate the name socialism because it truly is Marxism communism. I wanted to talk about a few other things today, but I'm going to do a little brief touch here on some of the stuff under, you know, communist regimes. You know, the people don't realize socialism is communism. They are not different. When people tell you otherwise, it's stupid. Democratic socialism is the key buzzword. Bernie Sanders is throwing it around. Democratic socialism. So that means that you have, you know, you basically take from the rich, give to the poor, redistribute wealth, but you still get to elect people to do it for you. This is not constitutional. It's absolutely completely unconstitutional. And, you know, democratic socialism truly will destroy America. We are making the same mistakes today that Russia made a century ago. If you look, you know, socialists are taking over the Democratic Party, and it's becoming politically correct, and it is scary. And I'll tell you what else, too. The reason that Trump won is because he was transparently honest. He just spoke the pure razor blade truth, okay? Now we've got the left. I really would like to hook a lot of these people up to polygraphs because, you know, I suppose if they tell a lie long enough, they believe it, right? But in general, what do we see? You see people falling in lockstep. And one thing you'll see in the Republican Party, now remember, the problem is the Republican Party's platform and baseline is not at all what they practice today. We've seen cowards come and go, the Paul Ryans and, you know, these guys you have all this hope for. Trump is a capitalist. He's a businessman. He's working infrastructure. His international diplomacy is tough because we're coming off of Obama, who literally kicked back, just lived the good life, didn't work, and just let every country grow. And heavily Muslim favoritism, gave amounts of money to Muslims that you can't believe. $1 trillion a year he was shooting overseas. and the majority of it was landing in the hands of Islamic nations and Muslim peoples, and absolutely unbelievable. He got $500 million through a Muslim solicitation unit in Gaza. You know, the president of Saudi Arabia assisted him, and that was his first trip, if you remember, after he got elected. His very first trip was to go to Saudi Arabia and bow before the king of Saudi Arabia all the way to the navel. I mean, giving basically total authority to the guy, because they had found a way to corruptly funnel $500 million to him in his campaign, which supposedly they didn't record properly and the computers weren't working, or, you know, I don't know. I did a show on that a long time ago. And he really built, he really propelled us towards an Armageddon scenario. We've got biblical prophecy of the earth just being parched and dead, and, you know, between that, between what we're discussing in warfare and socialism, I mean, people stop harvesting and cultivating the land and taking care of it. If you look at all these countries where they've been forced to do this, what do? They stop working. You know, they can't even keep enough food for their families. They have no capitalistic desire. Man is driven by capitalism. Man is driven by the desire to gain, to improve himself, to make a buck. People don't like to be poor. Why this younger generation is so comfortable with it, I will not understand. Because they have not been fed the American dream. They have not been taught the American dream. And had they been taught capitalism and the American dream, we would be going in a different direction, because we'd be creating entrepreneurs desiring success. They have come to the terms that their parents are better off than they are. They, you know, you get these young kids that are okay, and they want to be in college till they're 40 or whatever. And a banker friend of mine has told me that he's in charge of personal banking for a very large bank and deals with people that have real money. And he said that, you know, the student loan levels of their applicants just continues to grow and grow and grow. People just rack up the debt. It's pure foolishness. And you get some of these kids that, I mean, they don't have a clue. They do not have a clue what it's going to be like to pay that debt back. When my wife was ill with rheumatoid and I finished school and we did some stuff to get her where she could kind of function, and she went and finished her degree and we had to borrow some money to do it just because of our scenario. And I'm telling you, man, the ease of getting the money and the pain of paying it back is not, it's not, there's no balance. It's not cohesive at all. In fact, that applies to all debt. Even when you're borrowing excessive amounts of money to buy a car, cars are depreciating liabilities. If anybody knows it, I do. Trust me, I've done my share of losing large amounts of money on vehicles and just really stupid stuff. And over the years with different cars, and you know, it just, they're depreciating liabilities. You want to get a good, reliable car. I always say use Consumer Reports. They do all the long-term reliability. You know, Toyota makes a good product. And then there's a lot of, but even some of the Toyotas are not as impressive. Some Lexuses used to be the king, and now they're not. So you want to keep up with stuff. Occasionally there will be vehicles like even Chevys and Dodges that have a lot better longevity than others. And it's good to know that when you're buying these vehicles, it's good to know what the blue book is on it. You want to understand how to use the blue book. When dealers trade in a vehicle, they use low blue book and they fight you tooth and nail where they will not add the options. And when they sell it, they add the options. You need to understand the value of your vehicle when you go in to trade it in. You need to understand the value of the vehicle when you buy it. And, you know, you need to be a wise steward, just because it's a depreciating liability. Real estate, home ownership, you know, everybody's like, oh, that's the American dream. Whatever your mortgage payment is, you should plan. I'm not saying guaranteed, but plan on having that same amount as a buffer to maintain the home, to keep it up, to fix broken things. And, you know, I know certain smaller houses are a lot more reliable over time, and the hot water heater might go bad once in a while and things like that. So you can have smaller buffers. But the bigger the house, the bigger the buffer you need. And you got real estate taxes, so you never really own it. If you think you own your property, stop paying taxes and see how well you own it. All this stuff just baffles me. Direct taxation, constitutionally forbidden. They create the 16th Amendment. That was the beginning of socialism. Theodore Roosevelt got it going. Woodrow Wilson pushed it. We had a lot of presidents that did that. FDR took it to a new level with the New Deal. And then you got AOC coming out with her Green New Deal. It sounds neat to the youth to say free college, free this, free that. And these kids, you know, I mean, when I was young and irresponsible I had the fortune / misfortune of not having a lot of financial support from my family, none really, and having to make my own way. But I can tell you, when you're young, the thought of free money is a great thought, and you're living a certain lifestyle, which is very simple, and it sounds easy, and you're like, man, that's a great deal. They don't think of where the money comes from and the people, and then they see these people that are wealthy, and they think they're evil and bad, and when people are wealthy and on top, there's other people that want to run them down and take them, tear them apart and belittle and mock and besmirch them. And I mean, it's just something in our nature. When you're on your way up, the world wants to pull you down. When you're on your way down, there's plenty of people that are happy to jump on your back and push you down the hill as you slide. But the bottom line is it's absolutely contrary to socialism. So socialists are taking over the Democratic Party. We know that. It's not being done in secret. This is being done openly. They're brainwashing us. I mean, Bernie Sanders is an avowed socialist. I mean, 20 years ago, folks, you know, when I was growing up, I guess years back in elementary school in the 70s, I suppose, you know, communism was bad. It was a bad thing. We knew about it. They taught us about it. We had a very strong understanding of all the massive killings that have occurred in the 20th century under communist regimes. People say, oh, communism and socialism is different. Really? How? Communism is the natural progression of socialism, because people won't give up their money. They don't want to. They don't need to. The government doesn't have a right to it at the rate that they want. You know, government should be small, minimalistic, and many of the duties conducted should be transferred over to private corporations, but it's not. And, you know, it depends on how you define their deaths, but the estimates of mass killings account for crimes against civilians by governments, executions, destruction of population through man-made hunger. Every socialist country has gone into severe hunger issues, a lack of food, deaths during forced deportations, imprisonment, forced labor camps, you know, it's just, you know, mass killings, democide, politicide, classicide, whatever you want to call it. It's just genocide. It's always, always the case in these situations. And it's gone on forever. Well, forever. It's gone on as long. Every single time they've tried to apply socialism, AKA communism, it has the same result. So please understand, as we adopt this ideology, you know, this Klaus Göran Carlson, this German, says, ideologies are systems of ideas which cannot commit crimes independently. However, individuals, collectives, and states that have defined themselves as communist have committed crimes in the name of communist ideology or without naming communism as their direct source of motivation for their crimes. And basically you have, you know, these countries that basically substitute the God for the government or the government for God. And it's I'm just trying to educate you. I hope you know this. Marxism legitimates violence without any clear limiting principle because it rejects moral and ethical norms. Okay? I mean, Marxism is an amoral system without morals. It rejects God. It rejects morality in whole as it as constructs of the dominant class and states that it would be conceivable for revolutionaries to commit atrocious crimes in order to bring about a socialist system. It encourages violence to bring this about. Have we seen a rise in violence in this country, this Antifa garbage and all this fascist stuff? And it, you know, and they call Trump a fascist. It's like they don't even know what they're talking about. It's the stupidest thing you've ever heard. He's exactly the opposite of a fascist. Fascism is where the government owns everything and they can take anything they want whenever they want, and guess what? They do. Caterpillar lost a huge plant in Indonesia that the president or whatever he is, prime minister of Indonesia, gave to his son. And guess what his son did with it? Yep, he drove it into the ground. And I mean, how do you do that? Caterpillar won't give him product. You know, they moved out of the country. It's just pure foolishness, just pure foolishness. They don't understand a business that produces over time is much more profitable to a government than a business that's taken over by a government. You look at Venezuela, where they've confiscated, even there was gold reserve here in Spokane. They got this huge mountain ready to go to mine silver. And once they got everything in place, the Venezuelan government agreed, assisted. They got all their equipment. They got everything going. The operation, Venezuela seizes it, and they're done. That's it. Bankrupt. Over in a communist country, and all along they're like, yeah, go for it, sure, we love it, you know. Well, you know, of course they do. You know, Friedrich Engels, Mr. Marx's friend, called the Hungarian struggle, and published in Marx's journal, which is some German name, the New Rheinschneegzeitung or Zeitung, whatever, that the writings of Engels and others, it shows that the Marxist theory of history required and demanded genocide for reasons implicit in its claim that feudalism, which in advanced nations was already giving place to capitalism, must in its turn be superseded by socialism. Entire nations will be left behind after a workers' revolution, feudal remnants in a socialist age, and since they could not, I'm reading this off of a quote, could not advance two steps at a time, they would have to be killed. They were racial trash, it says, as Engels called them. Now, you got to remember, Friedrich Engels was Marx's buddy, and he called capitalists racial trash. And what's a key buzzword in politics now? Racist. You're a racist. All this name calling and labeling is how they dehumanize you. And they're folks, you on the left, I know there's probably not a bunch of listeners from the left because they don't want to hear it from me, but you're being brainwashed. And the worst thing is if you're growing up Democrat, and by golly, you're a Democrat because my dad was a Democrat. They have nothing in common, okay? One of the best conservatives this nation had seen was JFK. I mean, he was a conservative, but he was a Democrat. And he understood monetary policy. He understood capitalism. He was a wise man. And, of course, He had the executive order 411, 411, whatever, 4 ones and a zero that abolished the Fed. It was written up to be enacted. LBJ basically brushed it under the rug. It's still in effect, and we just completely ignore it. And you know, it just, you know, so. The Democratic Party today has nothing to do with the Democratic Party of anything in history. It used to be that they had the Communist Party, which everybody would laugh at and throw on, you know, they didn't even have a chance. The Green Party, laugh at, they didn't even have a chance. Now we have the Green Communist Party called the Democratic Party, and this is where we're at. Now, sure, Trump might win the next election, but in time, they brainwash. Again, that Joseph Goebbels, tell a lie long enough, people believe it. The bigger the lie, the easier they believe it. Why are we like that? I don't know. But look at CNN, fake news. You know, they really are fake news. I mean, they've gotten so bad. It's baffling. It's baffling. It's like they combine socialistic, communistic thinking with hyper-sensationalized media, and they get people angry at Trump for just nothing. Anything he does or says, they take out of context. You get these fools, these left-wing whack nuts that they just won't stop until we get there. So I was reading here, entire nations will be left behind after a workers' revolution. Feudal remnants in a socialist age. And since they could not advance two steps at a time, they would have to be killed. And then he says, they were racial trash, as Engels called them, and fit only for the dung heap of history. So people that are capitalists, they say they need to be killed and put in a dung heap. A dung heap is dung is poop, folks. Just that's what they think of capitalists. Watson's claims have been criticized, blah, 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 you know, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. And there's a lot of information here that I will not get into. But you've got this whole historical list of deaths due to, you know, what, you know, the Soviet Union, the Red Terror, they call it, you know, in the early months of 1919, 10 to 12,000 Cossacks were executed a month. Many more deported after their village were razed to the ground. According to historian Michael Court, 1919 and 20 out of a population of 1.5 million, the Bolshevik regime killed or deported to their death over 500,000. You go into the Soviet famine, which killed 3.3 to 7.5 million Ukrainians, 1.3 Kazakhs, you know, and the numbers just go on and on and on. The Great Purge in, China, around 700,000 were executed by a gunshot to the back of the head. Can you imagine that? This doesn't count starvations. 700,000 people killed by gunshots to the back of their head. 700,000 people. If you take Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, all the way up to Sandpoint, down to Lewiston, Idaho, all the way out to Moses Lake and the Tri-Cities, you still don't have 700,000 people. Okay? It said, hundreds of thousands of others perished from beatings and torture while in investigative custody and in the gulag due to starvation. Hundreds of thousands died. Hundreds of thousands more died due to exposure and overwork. Modern historical studies estimate a total number of Stalinism repression deaths during the Great Purge, tens of millions, and it just goes on and on and on. And they just, they got every, it's paranoia. You know, I can go through, it just keeps going and going here. The State Security Department, or NKD, from October of 1936 to November 38, 1.7 million people were arrested and 724,000 were executed. The rest were basically, over the next couple years, left to die due to starvation and overexposure to the elements, you know, and another 100,000 priests were killed. Monks and nuns were executed during this time, folks. I mean, it goes on and on. That's, you know, the Northern Korea conducted a series of national operations which targeted national contingents, where a total of 350,000 were arrested and 250,000 were immediately executed. The other 100,000 were sent to forced labor camps where nearly all died. The Polska something, whatever, appears to have been in the largest 140,000 arrests with 111,000 executions. Mongolia, you know, you've got 35,000 people executed under socialism or communism, and another 18,000 Buddhist lamas because of the lack of freedom of religion. And, you know, and on and on. I mean, the Soviets, I could just keep going on, the 150,000 Polish citizens. You know, I just don't even know where to begin or where to stop on this. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Mao Zedong, which, oh, I can't remember her name, that was under Obama, said she considered him one of the greatest leaders of all times. Listen to this. 1/10 of the peasants, or about 50 million, were destroyed to facilitate agrarian reform. 50 million people. 50 million. I mean, what do you do with those bodies? I mean, sick, 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 sick. I mean, it just goes on like this. Millions and millions and millions of people imprisoned in labor camps, which is basically death. You know, I don't even know where to go. 2.5 million summarily killed or tortured to death in, you know, another Chinese famine. And it just keeps on going. It just keeps on going, and you just, I don't even know what to tell you other than, you know, I think maybe I'm hoping you're kind of getting the point, perhaps. It doesn't, you know, I guess we'll leave it at that. How about, you know, let me see. I could keep going, okay? So the bottom line is, folks, this is serious stuff. Cambodia, 1.871 million, 21-24% of the Cambodian population was killed before Khmer Rouge took power. And then, I mean, it goes, I can't even believe this. You know, researcher Craig Etchison, Documentation Center of Cambodia, suggests that the death toll was between 2 and 2.5 million. After 5 years of researching some 20,000 grave sites, he concluded that these mass graves contain the remains of 1.28 million victims of execution. Folks, have you ever watched The Killing Fields? It's a movie about Cambodia. Watch it. It teaches you how they work, and you're going to see similarities already in what they're doing. What they eventually do is get the kids to turn on their parents, and that's when things get bad. They brainwash the kids in the schools. You know, Karl Marx says, you know, give me the children of the nation and the newspapers, and I don't need the adults. They're done. You know, you got... like I said, I keep saying I'll stop, and I don't. I have to, because it goes on and on. I mean, I'll just tell you the countries. East, you know, Bulgaria, you know, you've got over 100,000 people dead. East Germany, you know, there's stack. They've got all these different ways they were killed, like you need to know. But it's 100,000 here, 123,000 there, 35,000 there, 43,000 there. You know, Romania, 300,000, Yugoslavia. I mean, this is their own government, you know. Your government's supposed to protect you. That's what America's about, right? And that's where this police state thing is scary, because what are police to do? To serve and protect, right? And then we've taught them what? We train them. You're the enemy. The citizen's the enemy. I know. I was in martial arts for for a couple decades, and I used to be involved, and I had some pretty significant achievements, and I used to be involved in the education of police in hand-to-hand combat, or I assisted the instructor who taught them, and we taught them, you know, restraint and, you know, how to accelerate to a point of control only, not this stuff where they, you know, beat people to death, suffocate them, hog tie them, while another police officer walks around them in a circle and says, stop resisting, stop resisting, stop resisting, while they're zapping them with a taser. And they're hiring government contractors to teach them all their self-defense, and it's and they call the citizen the enemy, the enemy, the enemy, the enemy. You know, they're not citizens anymore. They're the enemy. And that is where the you know, I remember years back people would say the National Guard would never point arms at its own people. Well, you brainwash enough youth and you get them in your military, it's just a matter of time. This has been the goal since the beginning of the what was the name of the school that came here? But anyway, this has been their goal, and they're very, very patient. They just keep doing it. It's their goal, and they won't stop. And we need to stand up. We need to educate ourselves and understand, read the Constitution, read the writings of our founding fathers, get to know this stuff, right? Just get to understand who we are and why we are who we are. I've got a lot more stuff, you know. Socialism has never succeeded anywhere, okay, including the Marxism, Leninism of the Soviet Union, National Socialism of Nazi Germany, the Maoism of Communist China, Chavez, Maduro, Socialism of Venezuela. It has never, ever even come close anywhere to Marx's ideal of a classless society. Karl Marx's manifesto, which I've read, is it might as well be the satanic Bible. It's exactly the opposite of the way God made you and me, with personal responsibility, accountability, the ability to use a series of talents. We're all different. We're not all the same. We're all motivated differently. We have different desires. God gave us with the, you know, inalienable rights is what our Constitution tells us. And these people are saying, well, we want to implement socialism without, you know, breaching the Constitution. You can't do it. Karl Marx has been wrong about every single thing he predicted. The nation state has not withered away. Capitalism didn't break down as a result of the Industrial Revolution. Workers haven't become revolutionaries because of workers have not become revolutionary. They've become capitalists. The middle class has not totally disappeared, but it is disappearing as socialism creeps into our society. Isn't that interesting? He wants to do away with the middle class. And it's actually socialism that does it. And he says capitalism does it. The more we become socialistic, 47% of people on the government dole, we have lost the middle class. We're losing the middle class. And inflation, hyperinflation due to fiat currency, as I discussed in the last show, it's expanded exponentially around the world, this thought process, okay? Marx's attempt to use Hegel to create scientific socialism has been an abject failure. Hegel's Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, where you create a problem and you happen to have the solution, and then you're the hero. And that's what Hitler did, and that's how these people suck people into this lie. So socialism denies the existence of an essential human trait, which is human nature, okay? I mean, that's what it's missing. Marx borrowed from the Enlightenment to declare that human nature was malleable, not constant. Christian theology, with its idea of a fixed God-given nature, infuriated Karl Marx. The socialist state established by Lenin in Russia tried for, or the Soviet Union tried for 7 decades to create an entirely new human being, the Soviet man. In December 91, Mikhail Gorbachev gave up trying and dissolved the world's most spectacular failure in human engineering. Socialism depends not on the will of the people, but on the dictatorship of the party to remain in power. In the God that failed, 6 famous Western intellectuals described their journey into socialism and their exit when they encountered the gigantic gap between their vision of a socialist utopia and the totalitarian reality of the socialist state. Okay, it's a book about 6 men who bought into the lie, went there, tried to live, and said, wow, bad failure. So, you know, what's the price of socialism? I mean, well, anyway, after visiting the Soviet Union, the French Nobel laureate writer André Gide said, quote, "I doubt where any country in the world, not even in Hitler's Germany, have the mind and spirit ever been less free, more bent, more terrorized, and indeed vassalized than in the Soviet Union." So what's the price of socialism? The Chinese philosopher Lin Yutong listed the little terrors that prevailed in China, making children of 12 subject to capital punishment. 12-year-olds, you can kill them. Sending women to work in underground coal mines, harassing workers during their lunchtime with threats of prison if they were late, returning to work, or, you know, taking away their food if they misbehaved. Soviet defector said of the perpetual surveillance from the KGB, "We lived in a world swarming with invisible eyes and ears." And then you get all these citizens that are tattling on each other. You ever see something, say something. You ever heard that? See something, say something. That comes from Adolf Hitler. And then it was also used by Mao Zedong in China. See something, say something. The problem is they teach you what to see and what to say. Given the ignorance of so many of our fellow, especially young Americans, which is a lot to do with the media and the education system, telling the truth about socialism is imperative. Okay, it's become an imperative. If we do not teach these people, Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez, you know, what's her name, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's nuts. And their fellow, politicians, travelers, whatever you want to call them, they'll fill the vacuum with their misleading rhetoric. So the media gives them all this platform, and they don't let the other side educate. And you look at like the John Birch Society. They're a great organization, but they're archaic. Okay, they're the best source of information for anti-communistic rhetoric, but they've been plastered by the media. They've got the old guard. Okay, I mean, I used to support them a lot, and they're harsh, and they're old, and they don't know how to work with people. They don't know how to flex on things, and they just don't know how to get their message out. And they're the best source of information. You go to John Birch Society, their website, it really is good, and I don't mean to criticize them. I'm sorry if it came across that way, but they're on the money. They're right. They're the best source of this information, as well as information on our fiat currency system. They've got some books, little booklets, Restoring the Rights of the States and the People, and so on. So given the ignorance of so many of our fellow young Americans, like I said, we've got to educate them. The truth about socialism is that it's a pseudo-religion founded on pseudo-science and enforced by political tyranny. Understand that, okay? As a believer, you have an obligation. This is Marxism, socialism, the destructive nature of it. It is anti-biblical. It is anti-God. It is designed to destroy capitalism. And hundreds of millions of people have died at the hands of it. It's tyrannical nuttiness. It's basically, we were created by God, put on this earth by God. We were given unalienable rights, and they strip it all away, and it's an absolute utopian lie. It's just phony. And I don't understand the appeal of it, but it's there. They brainwash these kids. We've got to clean up our universities. get these trash-talking teachers out of there. You know, there's a saying that says that those who can't do teach and those who can't teach consult. And I don't mean that to insult our teachers, but at the college level, if you're, you know, I mean, what is it, 97% extreme liberal and worse? That's what we've got our kids being educated. You send your kids off to college, folks, any of you, you better go find a good university. Oh, there's one off the top of my head I can't think of. Darn it. There's a few. Liberty, but there's one I really like, and I can't think of it right now. But you get them to a good Christian college, not a Catholic, you know, kind of dead college, but a good Christian college. Man, I wish I could think of the name of this college right now. We've had some customers give some massive endowments to it. A lot of really famous conservative journalists have come out of there. You know, but you got to get your kids educated right, taught right. Get them in Christian schools if you can. You know, there's some really good ones out there. For young kids, Real Life Ministries in Post Falls, Northwest Christian. Get them out there. Get them educated properly. That's our future, folks. Without it, we're in big trouble. It may be too late now, but it's on its way, and in a country that you never, ever would have ever guessed, okay? So the bottom line, again, always kind of comes to the same thing. I'm on the financial end of things. I promise you, we're heading this way. We've got the Bible. God made money a certain way. It's gold and silver based. It's hard asset based. That's the way you build your portfolio. That's the way I'm building mine. That's the way all my friends that deal with me do it. That's the way my relatives do it. There's so many benefits. I don't have time to go into them all. But with this coming, socialism coming, you need privacy, anonymity, transportability, protectivity, everything that precious metals-based assets offer. Don't buy into the lie. Socialism wants to destroy your economic condition, and they will. They will destroy the system. They'll build it up till everybody's in and out. They'll go. Also, Google reviews I've discussed, you know, Google, Yahoo, and so on. You can get $1 to $2 silver dollars, do $1 to $3 reviews. Give us a call. We'll verify it. One's a silver dollar. Three is $2 silver dollars. That's that. Remember, this weekend's Father's Day. Take care. God bless. I love you. Thanks. Bye-bye.